This is the Pulse of Healthcare, broadcast from the Ovation Health Studios. Our podcast targets the challenges surrounding healthcare today in the United States. Our host, Dr. John McCormick, an expert in the industry, offers common sense and pioneering solutions for the future of healthcare.
Hi, good morning, and welcome to the Pulse of Healthcare. This is your host, Dr. John McCormick. I'm here with Peter this morning, and today we're going to dive into a subject that's one of those things that is part of the healthcare system that's often abused and lots of times misunderstood, and that's emergency rooms. So a couple of weeks ago, we were talking here in the office, and my claims person came to me and said, hey, we're having this crazy uptick in people utilizing the emergency room. And my immediate response is, well, that's an education problem, right?
Yep, it would be.
So it made me think about, why is it that people engage in the emergency room for what we would consider routine medical care? And there's all kinds of reasons for that. But ironically enough, I wrote a paper about it a couple of years ago, and I'm going to reference that a little bit in our talk today, but I want to just kind of dive into that and say, you know, when we talk about the Network of Excellence in Health and Innovation, formerly the New England Healthcare Institute, all right, we know that they published a couple of years ago that the average office-based visit cost for a health plan was $187. So that's you going to see your primary care, getting the range of things that your primary care can do. Now, a lot of people don't realize your primary care has a lot of latitude in what they can treat you on, and they're really experts in all that general medicine. So there's not a whole lot of reason to go to an emergency room unless you have a truly emergent scenario.
What really makes the emergency room that much more expensive? Because it seems to be four, five, six times what it costs me when I go to my primary physician.
It's actually quite a bit more than that, even. But there's two things coming into play there. First of all, the emergency room has to be staffed and equipped to actually handle emergencies, car accidents, broken bones, gunshot wounds, being stabbed. I mean, there's a whole range of things that could happen, including, you know, emergency surgeries like appendicitis and those kinds of things that are truly emergent. You know, I got blood shooting out of my body. I'm going to the emergency room. You know, I am doubled over in pain and cannot get up off the floor. I'm going to the emergency room. All right. So there's some reasons to do that. But I got the sniffles or, you know, a little cough or something. I shouldn't be using the emergency room to take care of that primary care, all right? So the cost of an average emergency room visit, this is not a, and if so you understand, emergency room visits are billed out in levels, like tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four, tier five. And if it's tier five, that's an absolute true crisis, emergency, you went in there for the right reason, that's the most expensive. That can be $10,000, all right?
Yep.
A tier one visit, which is really something you probably should have done at your primary care doctor, is still over $2,000, like $2,300, $2,500, depending on where you go.
For the same diagnosis.
Same diagnostic, same, ultimately, a lot of times the same treatment. Oh, you just need a Z-Pack or go get some Mylanta or, you know, so it's pretty generic kind of things. But remember, when you walk through the door of the emergency room, they're staffed for that critical emergency. So they're billing you for all those nurses and doctors and equipment and everything that they have in that room, even if they don't use it on you. You still get to pick up part of the tab for keeping those people available. So you have to wonder, why do people do that? Why do they say, you know, so do they, you know, is it that they're having a difficult time getting in to see their doctor? That could be, that could definitely be a cause. All right. And so fortunately with Ovation Health and now a lot of the other plans, we have 24/7 telemedicine. So if you're proactively thinking about your plan, you know, instead of go to the emergency room, pick up the phone and call your telemedicine provider, and they can act as that urgent care intermediary, and they'll either prescribe what you need or they'll tell you, go to the emergency room. You qualify. Go to the emergency room. The second part of that is mindset, right? How much is this going to cost me?
Right.
And here's the dilemma, because we have this question, because people say, well, your copay for going to the emergency room is $500, and that's more expensive than my previous plan. You're right. It is, because we don't want you to go to the emergency room. We want you to use the other avenues first, because the emergency room is your worst possible suggestion for routine care. But the problem is they don't actually understand how their last previous plan worked. Maybe they never went to the emergency room, or maybe they did. All right. And they looked at their card and it said $100 copay. And they go, well, that's not too bad. No, don't pay that. What they forgot is they had a $5,000 deductible. So now they're responsible for the entire bill.
Right.
You know, let's say it's later on in the year and they've had a lot of medical expenses and they actually met their deductible. Well, they probably, if they have one of those silver or bronze plans, which are often the case, they also have coinsurance. So now that $2,500 bill that the emergency room is paying, they paid their $100. They think, oh, I'm done. No, you're not. You still got another $500 that you owe in coinsurance.
That's the surprise bill there.
Surprise, surprise, you know. So we don't have any deductibles and we don't have any coinsurance. But we do have a little higher bar if you choose to engage in emergency room services, all right, for true emergencies. Yep. And you know, but ultimately it's actually cheaper because you don't have that deductible and you don't have that coinsurance. That $500 one-time pay is actually a bargain when you're going to the emergency room.
Absolutely. Now, I've talked to a couple of friends and they thought the technology was better in the emergency room. The doctor was better in the emergency room, where my understanding is that the doctors treat you for what you initially came in for and not for full diagnosis. They send you to your primary care then too. So you're paying double in that case.
You really are. And that's not to say emergency room doctors are phenomenal, but they're also there for emergencies. Right. So if you're going in there for a non-emergent reason, first of all, your likelihood of being seen in a timely fashion drops dramatically because now you're prioritized underneath everybody in front of you that actually had an emergency.
Right.
All right. And let's face it, doctors are human beings. You know, they have that same mindset too. I'm here to take care of emergencies. I'm taking care of emergencies. And you came in with sniffles. All right. So my bedside manner for you might not be so good. Are you serious now? Okay, go get you a Z-Pack, get out of my way. And, you know, and you've sat around for 4 or 5 hours to get your Z-Pack, you know. That's the upside of having the telemedicine option inside the plan and the downside of people using the emergency room. So some of the other downsides of the emergency room is a lot of plans, people don't realize, are employer-sponsored, which means they're self-funded. And when you use the emergency room, you're engaging in healthcare in the most expensive way possible. So every year when your bill goes up and you're like, I got to pay more for health insurance. Man, that's terrible. Well, how did you and your fellow employees contribute to that price hike?
I think that the telehealth has been a great relief for giving access to people that didn't primarily, you know, have health care. So that open access, if you will, go to the emergency room or telehealth, the best choice is always going to be telehealth.
To me, if I'm not shooting blood out of my body, all right, I'm calling the telemedicine doctor. Why? Because I can talk to a telemedicine doctor generally within 5 minutes. I can't even get to an emergency room in 5 minutes, all right? But I can talk to a telemedicine doctor in 5 minutes, and they can tell me, oh, you need to go in, or sounds like you need to go get you a Z-Pak, or I can prescribe you something for your migraine or whatever it happens to be. So that should be the first stop. But like I said at the very beginning of this podcast, it's an education hurdle. A lot of people don't realize that although we publish in the plan document and we send out all the information and we say, hey, you have this as available, it's included in your plan, you should certainly use it. You know, even as proactive as we are at Ovation Health, we still only have about 40% of our members that have signed up for this completely free service.
That's a service that they people really have to understand to reduce their own medical costs of what their copays. And it's part of the education process of them taking control of their medical treatments.
Absolutely. And, you know, Peter and I are old guys. I mean, you can't see that in the podcast, but we're old guys. I can tell you that, you know, I'm probably the last convert in my whole office for telemedicine. I've been, you know, I spent 22 years in the military, fortunately was pretty healthy the whole time, you know, went and did my annual checkup, saw my doctor face-to-face, retired, got my doctor that's, you know, like three blocks from my house. And that was my routine. And when we got telemedicine, you know, it's like everybody in my office is like on their phone or on their iPad or whatever. And they're like, yeah, I need to see my doctor. I'm closing the door, you know. And I'm like, yeah, I made an appointment. And they're looking at me like I got two heads. Like, why are you going to sit in a doctor's office with other sick people to get a prescription refilled when you can just call them on the phone?
I'm actually a recent convert to telehealth, and it is so much more convenient for me. The doctor's asking the right questions. They're giving me the right support. After sitting in waiting rooms with a lot of sick people, this is my new primary avenue.
I think COVID was kind of a eye-opener for a lot of people. First of all, they couldn't go to their doctor. A lot of them were closed, you know, or weren't allowing people in, you know. But this is kind of the mentality and methodology that we need to make sure we push out there. You know, are emergency rooms useful? Absolutely. And we have to have them.
Right.
You know, there are times where people have real emergencies. All right. I've been one of those people that had to go to the emergency room. So I get it, right? Yep. But people should not be going to the emergency room for non-emergent reasons. And it's really one of those things. Now with the telemedicine option, should always be your first call. Telemedicine first, let them direct you to the emergency room. Because that also takes away that other question, right? So this is the secret sauce inside of these plan documents. The doctor doesn't get to decide if it's an emergency. Believe it or not, the plan decides. All right. So it's how the plan is written and the utilization managers that work in that plan, when they get that bill from the emergency room and they go, oh, well, this was a tier one visit and, you know, they were given some kind of cough syrup. Well, then you went to the emergency room for a non-emergent reason. And you know what the plan says? Remember, that's on you. Pay for it.
That is another one of those surprise bills that you get.
Right. Absolutely. Surprise, you know. But this is the cool thing. If you're calling the doctor through your telemedicine and they direct you to the emergency room, then the plan has a lot harder time saying you went for a non-emergent reason because you conferred with the doctor agreed with your personal assessment, the way you felt, right? And said, hey, in my opinion, I also feel that you should go to the emergency room. So now when you go to the emergency room, the plan has a much harder time pushing back on that and making you 100% responsible. Still going to have your deductible. Still going to have your coinsurance if you have a plan other than Ovation. But at least now you've got a tool in your toolbox to say, hey, I went not because I was nervous, but, you know, also because a doctor told me to go.
You know, Ovation Health is doing a lot of work to raise awareness for the appropriateness of ER use and education for it. Why isn't that a more common piece of public knowledge being put out there?
You know, I wish I knew. I know I work for I work for a school district for 10 years, and it would be, and teachers are the worst because they don't want to miss teaching your kids, you know.
Yep.
So they will drive through the week feeling sick, and then they will collapse on Friday night and go, you know where they go? Emergency room. Or Saturday morning emergency room, you know. And our superintendent at the beginning of every year would announce, oh, guess what? You know, the teachers, we fought really hard and we got the teachers a 2% pay raise or a 3% pay raise. But wait, there's more. Guess what? Your health insurance went up 3%.
Yeah.
So in the 10 years I worked there, the teachers actually got no material raises because every time they got a raise, the health insurance went up about the same and sometimes a little bit more than that. And he would say the same thing every year. And it kind of got to be, you know, kind of an internal joke with me because I would wait for it. And he would say, teachers, stop going to the emergency room for your Z-Packs. If you're sick during the week, go to the doctor. And believe it or not, in the last couple of years I was teaching, they started opening up ready clinics inside some of the high schools in the district so teacher could actually go during the school day, see a primary care doctor, and get what they need. And that actually started to solve at least part of the problem, you know, toward the end of my term as a teacher.
I seriously think that telehealth is a great answer for those what are perceived to be emergencies because somebody's got a headache or they're not feeling well, versus going down to the emergency room.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
They can stay home and get the same diagnosis and treatment while not having to go down to the emergency room, sit in a room with a bunch of people that are having emergencies, real emergencies, and paying unbelievable prices.
Oh, I know it. It definitely, like I said, it's a needed aspect of the healthcare continuum, but it needs to be used in the right way.
If people have a question about it or want more information, they can get a contact us because we'll have something that we can send out to them.
Absolutely. And for those of you that don't have your ID card in front of you, you can always call us. We're at 866-549-4199, 866-549-4199. Call, talk to one of our patient advocates, talk to one of our member service people. Happy to guide you through the process. Get you set up on your telemedicine app. If you're not set up on that, we can guide you through that too. You know, our goal is for you always to get the best healthcare at the best prices, all right, and engage in the healthcare system in a smart, educated way.
Thank you, Dr. John. I think that what you're doing with raising the awareness is something everybody should be doing so that when people go to the emergency room, they get emergency care.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us on the Pulse of Healthcare. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks.